God uses different elements to change and shape our lives. I'll just kind of talk through several of those. God uses encounters with Him. In other words, moments of sheer power when we meet God in an experience and we hear His voice, we're set free, an insight comes into our soul. God uses encounters with Him to change us. God also uses moments of servanthood, moments of serving. Our lives change when we get outside ourselves and we serve. I always love to talk to someone as soon as they get home from a missions trip, because it doesn't matter how they say it, everybody who goes to a missions trip who I've ever met always says the same thing when they get back. I went there to bless those people, but it was I who was the most blessed. Serving changes your life. It is a force that God uses to change you. God also uses His Word. He uses the Bible. As God's Word gets into us and we apply it, our lives change. Let me give you another one that you may not think about as often. God also uses relationships to change our lives. If you could chart your life out across a timeline and you could see all the people that had invested in your life, you would see that today you would not be the person that you are if you took some of those people out of your life. There's just no way to debate that. You and I are different because of the people that God has placed inside of our life. People who spoke truth to us, who guided us, who invested in our life in some way. Relationships have the power to change your life. God-given, God-inspired, God-infused relationships. You're a different person than you would have been without them. So in this series we've talked about in the first week, uncommon sense. We've talked about stuff rubs off. We've talked about wisdom and community. We've talked about wisdom and friendship. Today from Proverbs 17:17, I want to share with you the power of community. Look at Proverbs 17:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I don't know a lot about tools that need to be sharpened, but I do know that a sharp knife is better than a dull one. I brought one this morning. Don't get nervous. Pay attention. Hey, you there in the back. If you've ever cut with a dull knife, you know it's more dangerous because it requires more force to make the same cut. And that's when you start cutting the end of your finger off and slicing your thumb and all this stuff, because you're in there, you know, standing up on top of the blade trying to get it to mash down onto something and make a cut. A dull knife is more dangerous because you have to apply more pressure. So, I wonder if that's also true with a dull person. A person whose life has become dull and stagnant and frustrated and calloused. I wonder if that person is more harmful and more dangerous to the people around them. Getting ready for this message, I decided to learn a little more about metalwork because, you know, I don't know anything about it. So I decided if I'm going to talk about iron sharpening iron, I wanted to understand the process a little bit better, so maybe I would understand this verse a little bit better. So I've got a little clip I want to show you that'll give you a little bit of metalwork 101. Go ahead and play the clip. Notice how fast the guy's working. He's trying to finish the piece of metal and get it in the shape that he wants before it cools off. Now, if you've got a pen, I want you to write down a couple things this morning. There are basically two things that you need in order to work with metal. Heat and force. If you notice, this guy had taken this rod and he had stuck it into the furnace and heated it up and heated it up and heated it up and heated it up. And if you notice something about that, he didn't hit any part of it that wasn't hot. Did you notice that? He didn't hit up here where it was dark and cold and black. He hit down here on the end where it was hot, and as he would turn the rod, he would shape it. That's basically the effect of two things, heat and force. Now, I want you to remember those two things this morning. When you work with metal, you always start with heat. You always start with heat because if you just hammer away at a piece of metal that's not heated up, you get nothing. Until you heat it up, you just wear yourself out. Heat makes metal bendable, and force is what moves it. The two work together in shaping metal, and the two work together in life. You can make metal do anything you want it to do if you'll heat it up, and then you'll apply force. As iron sharpens iron, Proverbs 17:17 says. So we're talking about the power of relationships to shape our life. If you will honestly reflect, you will have to come to the conclusion that some of the times in your life that you were growing the most have come through relationships. You were in relationship with somebody who God was using to have an impact on your life. Someone was willing to tell you the truth when you needed it the most. Sometimes the truth that people are telling you out of a moment of honesty is encouraging. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get distracted. And someone comes along and applies the truth to our life and says, hey, don't forget, you're a son. You're a daughter of God. God loves you. And that truth is encouraging. Sometimes that truth is challenging. They look you in the eye and say, because I love you, because I love you, I want to tell you this, even though it may be a little difficult to hear. Either way, God uses people in our life. I like to think about those relationships as like a house of mirrors. When you have people stationed around you that you trust, you look to them in the same way that you would look into a mirror to get an accurate reflection of your outer man. You look into those relationships as a mirror in which you would accurately look for the reflection of your inner man. What is really true about me? Give me objectivity. Give me reality. Let me see myself as I really am. And those relationships are stationed around you in order for you to see that. Just like in metalwork, for a relationship to have any transforming power at all, it needs equal amounts of heat and force. Now, if you're taking notes, write this down. I'm going to use the word heat as a metaphor for trust. Trust. For a relationship to work, there must be trust. Let me define that. Trust is the sense of being known and being accepted. It's belonging. It's the warm feeling of knowing someone knows your story. They know your family. They know your history. Explanations are a lot shorter when you're around them. You don't preface things as much when you're around them. They know your strengths. They know your weaknesses, yet they love you no matter what. Heat is a sense of togetherness. Heat is a sense of grace. Heat is a sense of safety. So heat is required to bring transformation through a relationship. Here's the other thing. Force. I'm going to use force this morning as a metaphor for truth. Trust and truth. Both elements need to be involved. Truth is basic honesty. It's when someone you know takes the time, listen to this, and takes the risk to say something direct and challenging to you. They take the risk to push you to be better, to push you to be stronger, to push you to be wiser, to push you to be a better parent or a better husband or a better wife or more Christ-like or a better employee or a better employer or more integral or more compassionate or more aware. The people who love you will call those things out of you. They will draw them out of you. So heat is trust, force is truth. Heat is trust, reinforces truth. You cannot be changed by the relationships in your life unless both of those are present. In metalwork, you always start with heat. You always heat the metal up. You always heat the metal up. In relationships, it's the same way. You don't start your relationships with truth. How many of you have tried that? Yes, and you are alone today. You start the relationship by heating it up and building trust. And you heat it up, and you heat it up, and you heat it up. And when there is enough heat, then and only then do you lay it on the anvil and you begin to shape it. Or, unbeknownst to you, God uses you to be a shaping force of truth in somebody else's life. So you always start with trust, you always start with heat, and after there's enough, you add force or truth. Most people tend to err on one side or the other. Most families have a culture that errs on one side or the other. Most groups, most churches, most relationships tend to err on one side or the other. But imagine a relationship this morning that was all trust and no truth. There are plenty of proverbs that warn us about relationships that are all trust and no truth. There's a proverb that talks about how sweet the kisses of an enemy are, but how faithful the wounds of a friend are. And that's the way it happens. In the long run, without truth, trust will fade away. The truth is, in my life, I don't have nearly as much trust for the people that are closest to me. I don't trust the people closest to me who have never taken the risk to tell me something hard. People who only tell me what I want to hear. People who only tell me what makes me feel good. People who only have, oh no, you did that just right, and there's nothing you could do to improve it, and there's no way you could ever get better, and there's nothing that you need to look at, nothing that you need to think about. In the long run, people that only speak sweet things to you, in the long run, you're going to lose trust in them. Because they never have any truth. They never have any impact to share with you. Now imagine a relationship this morning that's all truth and no trust. I mean, imagine a place where people just fire off opinions, fire off truth as it is in their own eyes with no sense of relationship or accountability or trust or warmth or affection. Just fire off, fire off, fire. Oh, I know what. Facebook. Yes, that's a good example. Where you just fire off comment after comment, it's like talk radio on drugs. Everybody can talk at once. Which means nobody's got to listen. I mean, look, how many times have you ever seen something in all caps posted on Facebook and went, that changed my life? I didn't see it that way before, but now my vote's going to change this November or whatever. How many times has that ever happened? Never. You know why? It's truth, maybe, with no trust. It's statement, it's force, with no relationship. This is how the Pharisees operated. The Pharisees had truth. They just had no relationship. Oh, they knew the rules, but they didn't know anything about people. And Jesus came along, and he understood this very well. And when he first decided how he was going to make an impact, he drew 12 men inside as close to himself as he could get them. And he heated them up, 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 and he heated them up. And he built a relationship, and he built a relationship because he knew the day was coming. There was going to be some big truth that had to come down. And the only way that truth could be received is if there was a whole lot of trust. There had to be a whole lot of it. The relationships that make the biggest impact in your life and mine are the ones that have, as close as possible, a balance between truth and trust. Those are the ones that impact us the most. All trust won't do it. All truth won't do it. Truth and trust. So I was thinking, when I was preparing this message, what are some arenas in life? There's, an unlimited amount, really, But where are some big arenas in life where we could apply this? Where are some places that we could apply this balance of truth and trust? Let me give you three. If you're a leader of any type this morning, if you are high up, the bigger you are in your field or your arena, the harder it is for people to tell you the truth and the harder it is for you to hear it. So if you go by any of these titles, CEO or head coach or foreman or president or manager or lead pastor or maybe even unofficially the most popular kid in school. How about that? Formal or informal places of influence and authority. The more of it you got, the harder it is for you to hear the truth and the harder it is for people to tell you the truth. If you are the patriarch of your family, you may have been at the top of that pyramid so long, you've gotten used to not hearing the truth. And it's a dangerous place to be. The truth is, a lot of important people stopped hearing the truth a long time ago. And guess what? As a result of it, they've gotten dull. They're not sharp. They're not effective. They don't perform the things that God sent them to perform as nearly as well as they could because they don't allow the combination of heat and force to work inside their life. We talked about that dull knife being the most dangerous. That's exactly what happens when we don't allow those voices. Yeah, you may excel in one area or two, but I guarantee you that you'll never be as effective as you could be in the width of your life, in the balance of your life, in the health of your life, if you don't allow God to pull people in your life that'll apply force and keep you sharp. The truth is, people who excel, massively excel, in one or two areas are sometimes at greatest risk because they think excellence here overcomes weakness here. And it's not necessarily true. Think of the examples. I mean, we could go on the rest of the morning. Jimmy Swaggart, an absolute phenomenal communicator and spiritual leader with massive, giant gaps in his life because no one could tell him the truth. Jim Baker, Ted Haggard. Then think in the business world, Enron, WorldCom. Think about the Hollywood celebrities you've seen who have phenomenal, explosive talent, but lives that are absolutely in wreck and ruin and chaos because nobody can tell them. Because they got the money now, they got the fame now, they're somebody now, and nobody's ever going to tell them what to do again. And boy, how's that working out for them? Ask the Betty Ford Clinic. They run through there like a circus. I sat in a dentist's office one day and read in a sports magazine the life story of Walter Payton. Phenomenal. Remember him running back for the Chicago Bears? Phenomenal. But his personal life was an absolute disaster. His family was shattered in 1,000 pieces because no one could bring the truth. We are only shaped by heat and force, by truth and trust. The more authority you have, the more intentional you have to be, and the more clear you have to be, and the more convincing you have to be to the people closest to you that you really do want to hear the truth. Because people don't buy that line. Everybody said, oh no, tell me, I want to know the truth. Everybody's been bit by that bug before. Yeah, then you say it and you go, I wish I'd have never said it. So if you have influence, you have to work hard. You have to be humble. And you have to help people around you understand that you in the right context, through people you trust, you really do want to hear the truth about yourself. Because it'll help shape you. There's another area that I thought was very important that probably no other time period could we have this discussion in the now. And that is among differing generations. This is the first time in world history that you have five or six generations above ground at the same time. Because people are living longer than they ever have before, and so you have that opportunity. Culture and life is changing faster than it ever has before in world history, which means that each new generation that sprouts up out of the ground has a whole different culture. You can have, you know, all white people or all African American or all Hispanic. You can have all of one race, but people are cut along generational lines differently than they've ever been before. And so 100 years ago, grandparents and parents and kids' life differed very little. One generation lived just as the generation before them had lived, with slight changes over decades. Now you have profound and dramatic changes in 5 and 10 year cycles. So every new generation, or maybe half generation that comes up, has almost an entirely different way of thinking, a different way of communicating, a different way of realizing and living in awareness of the world around them. So what I wanted to do to simplify it this morning is say, how can this whole idea, because look, the topic in America right now that's one of the most important and one of the most sought after is, how do generations get along? How do people in different generational cultures, we've never faced this before, we don't have models to follow from other times and places. How do not just different age people, how do different age people who have different cultures, who are part of the same culture, get along? How do we communicate? So let me simplify it this morning and just say this. Let's take two generations and make big categories. Let's say everybody, let's start with the older generation. Everybody older than me, all right? Make it real simple. Everybody older than me, give me permission to speak openly and honestly, and I think we'll all benefit. I think that from me up, this generation tends, now let's talk about how a generation will err. This generation tends to err on the side of more truth and less trust, and I think there's good reasons for that. What you need to see is, when you have more truth than trust, what you can sometimes be is just like a voice that's hammering. Anybody ever do this to their kids? Clean your room, put your socks up, be quiet, sit up, wipe your face. Right? And every teenager in the room's going, praise God, we're finally getting the truth at church. And if you're not careful, you can just sound like you're hammering away at the truth. But if the metal's not hot, it's not going to bend. You'll just beat it until you're tired and it's stubborn. Yes? You have to ask yourself, in the hammering, has any real change occurred? It may be force with no heat, truth without acceptance and unconditional love. Now, this isn't an accident. This generation tends to take relationships for granted, listen, because it was raised in a culture where most relationships were intact. The heat was built in. The trust was already there. So that generation was raised at a time where heat and trust were widespread. And so the way truth was admitted is it was just hammered away and hammered away and hammered away. And it forged a strong generation. And it forged a strong people. And so this generation tends to err on the side of force with no heat, truth with no trust, because trust is assumed. Because oftentimes in that generation, you would look, mom and dad could be trusted. In many ways, the government could be trusted. In many ways, the church could be trusted. In many ways, the school could be trusted. In many ways, the neighbors could be trusted. So trust was assumed. It was like Mayberry. It was fabulous. But I just want to caution you, if you keep hitting the metal without heating it up, you'll drive away the people you love, and you'll lose the opportunity to make a lasting impact. And you'll end up tired, and maybe even bitter. Now, let's take everybody my age and younger. Let's take the younger generation. Have you ever seen when metal work is being done, and it's being sharpened, and the metal that doesn't stay attached to the rod just keeps dripping off and dripping off. And then before long, you'll have a stack here that is just a massive glob of metal. Sometimes those of you in the younger generation, that's how you look. Just like a big glob of metal with no form. Just all heated up and heated up and heated up. All heated up and no place to go. Trust and trust and trust and trust and trust and trust and trust. No purpose, no direction, but good glob. This generation didn't get this way by accident. Broken relationships have destroyed more things than you and I could ever imagine. Listen to this. 53% of American children today are being raised in single-parent families. They are now the majority. Do you think that has an impact on a child's trust level? Absolutely. Does that have an impact on a person's ability to trust someone enough to receive the truth from them? Absolutely. This generation was taught the hard way they could not trust. Pain is an effective teacher. Dad, don't trust him, he'll leave. Parents, don't trust them, they'll divorce. Teachers, don't trust them, they'll cut corners, they'll lie. They're loaded with their own problems. Churches and pastors, don't trust them. Look at all the scandals. Government, it's in chaos. What institution left in our culture is trustworthy? This generation craves trust because it's had so little of it. It's so attracted to heat, but so afraid of taking the risk at the same time. This generation tends to err on the side of heat with no force, trust with no truth. I want to caution you this morning. If you just keep heating up the metal and heating up the metal and heating up the metal and never allowing any shaping to happen, never allowing any truth to hit, any force to guide your life, you will forfeit the deep relationship you claim you want. Without truth, deep relationship is impossible. It must be part of the foundation. Without truth, it's impossible. You'll just circulate in shallow and surface relationships, jumping to the next thing when it comes along, never allowing the force of truth to enter your life through relationship and make an impact on you. In the end, without truth, I said it earlier, trust will not sustain. Trust only thrives in the long run in an environment where there's truth. So, In a leadership capacity, among generations, let me give you one other example that affects us all, and that's words. We all err too much, as I said, on heat or force, but there's this area of spoken words. It's when you apply heat to someone's face, but force behind their back. Heat to someone's face, but force behind their back. Trust is what you communicate when you're with them. Truth is what you speak when you're not with them. This is so dangerous because it gives you the feeling of truth-telling without the reality of truth-telling. You ever have anybody say, I told them. Let me tell you what I told them. And then they say, you really said that? No, but I thought it. Right? Or someone tells you how they feel about somebody else, and you say, hey, well, let's go talk to them. No, why? Because I feel better now. I got it off my chest. Then what you did is you built fake trust to their face, and you told the truth to their back. This has no power to transform you, and it breaks down trust. Gossip gives a false sense of truth and a false sense of truth-telling. Gossip infects everybody who hears it, and it creates false alliances. In other words, you pull somebody over here and you say, you and I get it, but they don't get it. We're on the inside, but they're on the outside. And it breaks down relationship and the inner transformation that God wants to make in your life and mine. Words are power. You can use them to sharpen and encourage and build up and strengthen so that you and I can be effective. Or you can use words to tear down and to wound and to backstab. And you can use words to make yourself feel safe and included and pad in your own insecurities. This is one of the little things you'll notice about people in unguarded moments. One of the things you probably pick up at least unconsciously, whether you're aware of it or not. Will this person in a private moment throw that person under the bus in order to get closer to me? And if they will, then they'll throw you under the bus to get closer to them when you're not around. And that's the way it works. Because it's really not about you, it's about them. James 3, 9 through 11 is a powerful commentary on words. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, my brothers and sisters. This should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? I want to end this morning with three questions that I'd like you to think about later, more than just today. So if you'd write them down, at least you might remember them if you write them down. I ask our worship team to come now. Here are the three questions. Where are you at on the continuum? Where are you at on this continuum of all heat and no force and all force and no heat? Where are you at in truth and trust? Kind of where's home for you? Do you tend to be more of a, I'm just going to tell it like it is and let the chips fall where they will? And sometimes that rapid-fire approach is painful for other people, and sometimes it drives them away. And our words can be just like a hammer, pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding and never really making a difference. Because people around us become inoculated to them, and they tune us out. And if you're on that end of the spectrum, you probably need to spend a little more time heating up, building trust. Or maybe you're one of those people that you fall on the other end and you spend a lot of time building trust and making people feel safe and there's not any truth-telling. And we can strain so hard to establish trust and affection and safety and avoid the truth. And avoidance of the truth is the most dangerous thing of all. And maybe you've got that rod as hot as it can get. And maybe it's time just to tap. You don't have to break it in half. And if you're the kind that errs on the side of heating up, you're not going to break it in half. You're going to pull the hammer back as far as you can, and you'll be lucky if it even makes it there. Maybe it's time that you intentionally take a step of telling the truth. So where are you at? Find yourself on there. Here's the second question. Who are you building transforming relationships with? In other words, if you could pull a number out of your head, how many people do you know in your life right now that you have enough trust built with that you could go and ask them the truth about yourself and they would tell you? They would take the risk. I mean, they might be cautious, but they would take the risk. They would do it because there's enough trust between you that they would say, okay, if you really want to know, then I'll, as gently as I can, I'll tell you. How many people can you count? How many people can you name that you could do that with? Who are you building those transforming relationships with? Who are you investing in a relationship that way? Are you shutting out people who tell the truth because you don't want to hear the truth? Last question. Are there some relationships in your life that you need to build more trust in? Are there some relationships in your life you need to build more truth in? This has nothing to do with the kind of person that you are, the first question we asked. That's a different dynamic. This has to do with the status of your relationships between husband and wife, son and daughter, close friend, relative, co-worker. This is something you just have to back up and reflect on and say, who are those people in my life that I'm in close relationship with now? And How are those relationships? You know, metal work, if you watch longer videos, they'll heat it up, bring it, tap, 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 and then it'll start to cool off. So heat it back up, bring it, tap, 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 and then it'll start to cool off. And there's only so many times you can hit it before it cools off, and then you got to go heat it up again. And that same kind of balance exists in relationships. There's only so much truth a person can hear until there needs to be some more trust built. There's only so much trust you can build up without force coming and shaping the relationship and guiding it into something. Or it'll just, like I said, end up like a glob of metal shavings that really doesn't have any form. Okay, would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray now. Man, I hope this series has blessed you the way that it has blessed and challenged me. Man, I've been praying for us as a church this whole series that God is just going to infuse in our thinking body of Christ kind of stuff. So I'm going to ask our prayer team to come, and we're going to go to prayer. And I was thinking this morning as I was praying for the service, let me tell you a reason I think it's so important that we pray. I think when you pray about what's in your life, the chances of you acting on it go way up. I think if you don't pray about what's going on in your life, the chances of you leaving the room and acting on any of it goes way down. And so one of the reasons we do prayer is because it's the opportunity for you to turn what's happening inside you, to connect it back to God. And if you don't ever have that, sometimes you leave and, you know, go to lunch and you mean to catch up with it, but it just, the window's not there. And so one of the reasons we say come to prayer is to say, look, what God is saying to your heart before you leave the room, before you let a moment go by, respond to Him. Man, connect with Him and what you're feeling and your intentions and the conviction and the challenge and the encouragement, whatever. Connect back with Him. And as you bond with Him in covenant relationship on those things, man, you leave this place and now you're equipped to act on what you've heard. It's not just reading a book. It's talking to the author. It changes everything. So every eye closed, I know we, maybe sometimes you say, man, I'm not that kind of person or whatever. Look, if God's speaking to you, here's all that we want to do. These prayer team members, our staff, we want to come into agreement with you on what God's saying to you. That's what we want. When you say, maybe you're here this morning and you say, I feel that there are relationships in my life that need more truth. You know what? I think when you come into agreement, you don't have to tell your life story. Just come and tell one of our prayer team. God has put on my heart that I have a relationship that needs more truth. God has put on my heart I have a relationship that needs more trust. God has put on my heart that He is trying to speak the truth to me through people that love me, and I'm not hearing it. Maybe this morning you're saying, God is calling me to intentionally invest in relationships whereby I can hear the truth. And the honest truth is, I don't have enough trust in the relationships I have right now in order for that to happen. And so I need that. Those of you who had a broken home life, man, I'm telling you, this is right down your alley. Those of you, you're at biggest risk to go out and never let anybody tell you the truth because you don't trust anybody. And I'm just telling you, it takes wisdom, it takes discernment, it's got to be the right person, and it's got to be over time, all of that. But I'm telling you, man, don't leave the room till you act on it. So this morning, I'm going to pray, and any of those things apply to you, I want you to come and stand with one of our prayer team and just say those simple words. I need this. I need that. I want you to agree with me that God's going to help you with this. And I'm telling you, that act of humility, that act of submission, that act of invitation to God will draw His Spirit's work into your life, and you will see change starting to happen. You'll come out of here different. You'll start to act on what you're hearing. Lord, I thank You this morning for the Word of God that Your Word says is sharper than any double-edged sword. It will go and cut into our heart. It will cut into the resources of our mind. It will go and divide the smallest cells of the human anatomy. Your Word is effective, and it pierces through our soul. Lord, just as we've heard your word today, God, I pray that you would speak and minister grace and life in these next few minutes. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody say.